Ronnie can get you there.
I'll just drive. Just shut up. I'm just going to ignore all of you guys. Especially Joyce Santa. Have you noticed how much Joyce Santa picks on me?
Yeah, we get a break for
people. No respect. She's the Ecclesiastes.
Cult of Aphrodite.
Chapter 7.
Cult of Joyce Santa. Oh, yeah, I haven't been here in 2 weeks, and we were on Ecclesiastes 7 last time.
Come back in a month, we'll see.
I haven't marked. You must have got the two verses.
You can just, it's like a soap opera, and you can just check in every few months, and you can still figure out what's going on.
In Bible study, time stands still.
That's what I lie all the time.
Anybody else have anything to add to the conversation?
Well, since there is no time, how can it stand still?
Are we done with our little commentaries?
Ecclesiastes is one of the top books in the Bible.
This is such a disgusting group of people. The fruit of 35 years of labor.
This is all you've been able to catch. So much for your net.
Obviously,
it's spelled PH. All right, verse 19. 7. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 19. Wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So wisdom, and actually the literal translation says, wisdom is a stronghold. The only stronghold that we have as believers. It can never have anything to do with amount of money we have. It cannot have anything to do with anything other than His name. But His name is located in one place, on the mercy seat, under the wings of the cherubim. Here, and it's called a stronghold. The place of wisdom is location of sphere. It's under the wings of the cherubim. That's your prayer closet. That's the secret pavilion of the Most High. That's that is your permanent residence. For all that dwell on the earth have been deceived. All. And that's why we are seated with Him in this mystery, in this place, this secret place of the Most High. And so that stronghold has nothing to do with any kind of thing that you think, that we would think, or the mind can think of that's a stronghold. It has to do, the only way you can be on the mercy seat is the ultimate weakness, the ultimate emptying. The mind of Christ, who thought it not something to be grasped, to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, emptied himself. That has to be true in every second of your life. Wisdom is the stronghold. Wisdom is the place of rest. Wisdom is the place of being. And wisdom is always in the feminine form in both the Old and New Testament. Because it's the place of the bride. The only place of the bride is the mercy seat. As we've said so many times, the two predicates of wisdom are one, if it's highly esteemed among men, whatever it is that you think you're doing or want to do, if it's highly esteemed among men, it's an abomination unto God. Second predicate, if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. I mean, that, and if you apply that to your the thought processes and everything else, it is always the secret place of the Most High. It will always be hid from every generation. It will always be not anything that's not secret knowledge that's revealed to somebody. It's the fruit of knowing that vanity of vanity, all is empty, so futile, empty, chasing wind. Do you understand this as the predicate of what we're about?
The beginning of wisdom, you know,
is the fear of God.
And this next verse sort of defines where you start. If you don't know that there is no righteous, you know, man, then anything you come up with will never lead to wisdom at all. It'll just go your own way.
Yeah, the irony here is your strength is your weakness, not powerful physical stuff.
Remember when Paul was wanting the thorn in his flesh to be removed? He besought the Lord thrice. And Jesus said to him, "My strength is perfected in your proffered weakness here." But we don't want to be weak. We don't want to be empty. We don't want to be defenseless. Because it goes to the very heart of our identity. All the issues that we see going on in the Middle East right now are about identity. To be weak is to lose your identity. And we'll screw up a million times, we always do. His rod and his staff, they comfort us. Affliction and antagonism and suffering and oppression, that's our strength. Who could believe such a thing? That's not what any of us want. And the only way you can enter into the mystery is when you've seen the emptiness of everything else. You can believe in other words, you can start, and then by God, the Holy Spirit is going to, you'll think you're going to get anointed to do all kinds of great things, and you're going to do things, but the Holy Spirit is always mocking you. And then finally you'd come to this mystery, where you can say with the preacher, "Vanity of vanity, vanity of vanity. All is vain. All is chasing wind." So till this is apprehended, well, first of all, the only way you'll apprehend that is the fear of God. And that fear of God is far greater than any kind of mind talk or little issues that can come around, you know, because everything is trying to take you off the mercy seat. Does everybody, can you see, and it's nothing that you would naturally want to do. What?
I'm thinking how everything from the old man, from man's point of view, is sensual. And everything out here is sensual, trying to, like you said, draw us away from the mercy seat, where it's not sensual, but it's a place of abandonment and having laid down your life. So that's true. Everything is trying to knock you off.
Stop a minute and think. Even the very words that we use, we say, "The Lord is blessing us." Well, but if you really look at it, we say the Lord is blessing us when we're getting stronger, when we're getting better. That's
why. Blessing is gain, and gain is godliness.
Yeah, that's why all of us believe in the prosperity gospel. That's what every one of our minds want. we want gain. We want either gain about God or gain about, oh, I'm just a seeker. No, you're not. You're a controller.
We'll turn the message of the cross into gain.
I noticed. There's no really need to talk anymore unless we can, unless this can be kind of. Glenn?
Oh, I wanted to say this real quick. When I felt this for the past week, 2 weeks. I talked to Ollie a couple times on the phone when I was out of town, and then I came back. But, after I read that, I'm out of the loop, obviously. But it's probably already been discussed, or it's not even needed. But after I read the article and everything about that, you know, I just felt so grateful for this place. From when I came in, they truly say, you guys truly, every one of you saved my life, and you know, every one of you. And, I was talking to my doctor about that, and he goes, you wouldn't have been in a safe place. I would have gone and gone and gone and never would have known, you know. So the love that I feel for this place is just unbelievable. When I read something like that, you know, I just, it's like, God, it's just mind blowing to me. You know, why don't they call someone like me, you know? Why don't they talk to someone like me that's come from a little bit of money for their family and stuff? You could never, I mean, took me in, and that, I just wanted to, it's appropriate to share that.
Thank you.
So we could count you as a supporter?
Yeah. You made me think of the letter John Bloom wrote many years ago. He was back in New York, which we read
out.
Yeah,
I remember that.
He might not know. You remember that?
We'll never die.
Love Shamelessly, I think it was. Or
Don't Pray for Me, Love Shamelessly.
Yeah, I didn't remember those words. That Ollie showed me the letter like 2 or 3 months ago.
Yeah.
I didn't remember a single word in the letter. I did a specific word.
Yeah.
It was a stressful time.
No, but I mean, wrote it in a time of intense stress, weakness, hopelessness, and so that was the only time when all the bullshit goes away, and you just like you're not able to concentrate on anything that's bullshit.
Yeah.
And so
you see clearly.
So that's how it works. It's like being in the presence of death. If you're right there by the dead body, you can't talk bullshit. And so that's why. But same thing that Glenn is talking about. I needed a haven. And even though I wasn't here, you know, it's thousands of miles away, but I needed to know this place was here.
Yeah. That's the part of it I remembered is just the fact that you had said us being here meant everything to you. You know, same thing you just said. I personally hadn't never thought about something like that. But
and again, it isn't anything about us. It's simply that this is a place where that. Hopefully that weakness and emptiness is lived out. Not constantly. We all get huffy. But but it's a strange, it's counterintuitive. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't. You know, we've talked before about like the great works of literature, opera, and all that. The ones that are the puff kind of things, they don't last. It's only the things that show this mystery that we're studying in Ecclesiastes that become classics and become great. So there's something even in the, there isn't anything in man's consciousness at any given moment, but there's something that we see in it. I mean, we see that even in the great works of literature, that it's still this exhortation to stop the acting, stop the fairy tales, just be real.
I'll tell you something real quick. I've been in a body, you guys know, but I've been over 15, you know, different treatment centers since 87 all over the country. They're sending me, trying to fix me. And this is the only place that permeates my whole, the teaching of the cross. I see so much differently today, even though I'm so fucked up, but I see so much more differently. And all that other stuff, those big time Patrick Carn, big Pia Melody, I mean, I go down the list of big name therapists. I don't know, maybe a little voice back there, some tools I may have, but none of it is what I got here for free. Living here in Pete's room and in Joy Santa's house, you know.
You never got the bill?
I never got the bill. I mean, you know, that's so huge that I can't even articulate how big that is to me.
Anybody other? Any other response?
Made me think when I was undercover. I just screwed up terribly, and just how just being here, being just being anchored. I know then, you know, I know it's not a place, but you know, it's God. This just reminded me of that.
Yeah, and again, this has, I say it over and over, this has nothing to do with us except that. We see that the human race can't be helped. You can't get fixed. And proclaim that. That's the only thing. That there's nothing about me or Trinity or anything we do that has any merit, except that what we teach agrees with the Book of Ecclesiastes. Who could believe it? Nobody. You know, you heard me say before, when I saw when it pleased the Lord to reveal a son, but I didn't think anybody would ever listen. And I probably was right. I mean, we don't really hear. I didn't want to hear it. I didn't want to hear that all my hopes and dreams and plans were just crap. I didn't want to hear the message anymore, and you did. I don't have anything else to say.
There's a thing that... thinking about yesterday during Bob's study, it just came back. It's about, I remember you telling me about when you were a kid panning for gold, and about how when you do that, you learn, you know, when you go to a stream, you can look at the stream and look at the geology of the flow of the stream and know where to look. because understanding the process by which gold is deposited in stream beds. And I think that's a pretty good analogy, to me, that's a pretty good analogy for what's happened to me and I think this place. That, you know, this just happens to be a bend in the river where we've been deposited. I didn't get myself here. I don't know how the hell I got here. But I was picked up and dumped here. And the people, I know everybody in the room, and I can see the commonality in that. Just being picked up by God and moved here and there, and here's where you end up at rest.
You know, I have a question about this. You know, when I read that Dallas Observer article, I thought lies, falsehoods, half-truths, snarky comments written in such a way that it was just weird. Just weird. It bugged me.
Bugged
me. Everything about it, you know, made me want to, like, lash out and defend Trinity Foundation and Oli. And I, you know, and I've done that many times with, you know, when I've been mad about something. And I can do it. I can write it up in such a way that it's, you know, I can blog about it, you know, put something on the internet, whatever. But I don't know. It's like, it's so weird that I can't get my mind around it as to, it was written by a friend of mine, you know, I can't even get my mind around it enough to know how to feel about it. And I'm always constrained by this thing about I feel like anything like that is defending myself, defending ourselves. You know, it's going to be full of self-righteousness. On the other hand, I just like, I don't rest about stuff like that. It's like everything about it is designed to make you feel uncomfortable, just because it's not directly an attack, and it's not directly a. It's just full of innuendo, and the whole thing throws me into confusion because I don't know if it was just. It was just a list of, if it was a trial for heresy, you know, I would know how to be the lawyer. But I don't know what the heresy is. I don't know what the heresy is being charged. And so it just throws me into confusion.
I don't think you should do it.
It's like the book was written by a friend of ours. You know, it's like, yeah. And it's the same kind of thing. It's like, what's going on? Something else is going on. And
you know, while John was talking, it made me think of the dying to self, you know, withstand any insult, take any beating, not respond or get riled up.
Well, again, we, you know, for those of you that know me well, the cliche was never underestimate my ability to escalate. Well, we could escalate this to the nth degree, and that's what probably... I'd like to do the same as Glenn. I wanted to call a press conference or something. Okay. But that's not.
We can start. I'm kind of reminded of what happened to John back in the 80s.
When, yeah.
You know, everybody stormed down and Joe Bob's a racist. I mean, and as he said on the air, how do you prove you're not a racist? You can't say you're not a racist.
Okay. Well, the only similarity is that the C word is like the R word.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Like, you can't. What are you going to do?
But I don't know. I just...
Well, my recommendation is not to write anything, not to defend it at all.
Yeah, except I understand. I understand what you're saying about that. But just in day-to-day life, when somebody says something so much defense as it is
a defense. You
know, huh?
As it is a defense.
You might need to write it as a catharsis. You know, it's all boiling around inside you. At least you can get out.
But I mean, it's like, it's not so much, it's,
See, from my perspective, I don't care. I'm going to have a heart attack tomorrow morning. So.
Yeah, right. Oh, good point.
You're not going to be. Yeah.
Well, then, do we get all your hidden money?
Yeah, my Swiss bank account.
May I have your chair?
You know, you told us.
What did she say?
May I have your chair?
Hey, but only. I was talking to you. You know, I was talking about something. You said, well, do whatever you feel you need to do.
That's right.
So, if he feels something that's strong about...
No, hear me, listen. It's the same thing that this the comment about we had a policy of shunning people who left. That's just ridiculous. But the only thing I ever said was that I didn't feel like I could go after people that left. It just seemed smarmy to me to do that. Didn't mean I didn't love them any less, and I've always said, if you feel like anybody wants to, you should. And the same is true here. I'm not trying to make any policy. That's not what this is about. I'm just saying, from my perspective, and the elders have decided that from the foundation's perspective, we're not going to defend anything.
Oh, okay.
So if anybody, any individual can do what they want to do.
Yeah, my boss certainly asked me about it, and I certainly, you know, talked to him about it, but, you know, that's just for them. It's not like a published...
But something that always stands us in good stead is if there's doubt, you just wait.
Yeah. Well, here's the problem, though. I know all these people in the article. I know shit about them.
Oh. You think you know stuff.
Yeah. It's like, it doesn't seem...
it ain't fair.
It doesn't seem... I don't know why, but I don't want to get into the... reasons why this might have happened. You know, if you start like examining motives, then I think you end up getting in a, you know, the equivalent of a fist fight that doesn't result in any kind of
throwing poop at each other.
What?
Yeah. Just end up throwing poop at each other. Which is basically what this was.
And like, normally if you say, heresy is being preached here because of this or that or the other, then there's a way to talk about it. But if you just say, it's like, now, weird things going on. Must be a cult.
Well, what we've done simply is invited anybody to come anytime, look at anything, instead of trying to.
Yeah, there are groups that their job is to do that kind of thing, figure out, they come and do an investigation on a group and find out if they're preaching heresy according to their version of it, and they can, you know, we've invited them, I think, to come and do that if they want to.
Yeah, I can understand that, but I mean, if I wrote an article about some weird Pentecostals out in Mesquite or something, somebody said, "Oh yeah, but the weird Pentecostals say you can come to their services at any time and look at them and decide whether they're
weird,
heretical or not." I'm not going close to that place.
No, this isn't that issue. There are discernment ministries all over the country that we've worked with for years. And we've invited them to come and spend a week or 2 weeks or a month or a year. I don't care. And look at anything and everything.
And, they're not afraid to go see how we're doing. Yeah. So they surely come to see us.
Yeah. So the issue, there's no question, it's incredibly difficult because, you know, a lot of us know a lot of bad stuff that we could use, but that's not the issue. It's at some point, the prayer is always for reconciliation, and at least that there be forgiveness. And so that's why we had a big meeting about this on Sunday and talked that if this kind of things happen where it comes to your mind for whatever reason, it's really the Holy Spirit telling you to pray for it. It's not because your natural inclination, you'll misread what the Spirit is saying to you and think, well, I got to defend it, or I got to do this, or I got to just. But if you can see that, you know, that's what if I hadn't have stopped, that's what I was going to talk about what the other aspect of wisdom. There's no retribution, no striking out. It's you pray for whatever you were. You know, the real wisdom is you have heard it, that it has been said. You shall. Let me read it so I don't misquote it. You've heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee in thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if a man will sue thee at the law, take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him too. Give to him that asketh of thee. And from him that would borrow of thee, turn not away. You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemy, and bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you or persecute you, that you may be children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans do the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. That's an incredible kind of, it kind of, to me, it blows away any kind of confusion.
This was any kind of soul.
We smash it. What verse is that all in?
That's Matthew 5.
Five.
But anyway, anybody have anything else?
Well, I might want to point out that, you know, since this is going out on the internet, John may have already defended this.
I have a suggestion.
Well, let's. I don't want to get into it.
Well, just saying.
Wait.
Hey, what's there? I'm just saying. I have a suggestion, but I'll say it to you two when we in a minute.
Well, you can say it now. I don't care.
I don't think anybody cares.
All right.
It's just a suggestion.
All righty. And
Mike's listening to his coffee.
Does your coffee have a suggestion?
It sounds like the ocean.
Take it, big guy.
Oh my God, Kevin, would you come
down? Yes.